Good morning again, my friends. This is David Saul from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, for the past few weeks, we've been talking about God's number one making place for our lives, where we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the wilderness, my friend. Those difficult, painful times in our lives where we come to know God as a healer, where we come to know God as our provider, where we come to know God to learn to lean upon Him. In the Song of Solomon 8:5, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, we read, "Who is he coming up from the wilderness leaning on his beloved?" The wilderness, my friend, is those hard times, those situations and circumstances where we think we're going to be crushed, but in the end we find we are still standing by God's good mercy and His grace. Yes, in the wilderness we learn God is our beloved, and we can learn and learn to lean upon Him. The wilderness is even the place we can go and nobody will hear us scream. Have you ever been there before, my friend? But two, the wilderness is the place where we go to where we can have our questions answered by God. Have you ever been there, my friend, I ask? You know, there are a lot of Christians who have never recognized the spiritual making place of spiritual growth and maturity and suffer not knowing what God is trying to do in their lives. So they reject God's drawing and His work and they write it off. Some people even call it sin, but it is not, my friend. And why? Well, most Christians associate the wilderness as a place of sin or Egypt, but not so in God. God allows these hard things into our lives so that He can be, we can be approved and we can qualify. So He can teach us His ways. He can show us how He operates and He flows and He functions. All of these and more happen to the children of Israel, not in the land that flowed with milk and honey. Oh no, all of these things happened in the wilderness until they learned God's ways. In Psalms 103:7, we read, "He," that was God, "made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel." Psalms 103:7. Why so? Well, Moses knew God. He stood before Him twice and was led by Him. He talked with Him. But the children of Israel were stiff-necked people even before Moses' death. In Deuteronomy 31:27, Moses says, "For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord and have much more after my death." Deuteronomy 31:27. Sounds like us sometimes. God took the children of Israel to the wilderness like He takes us all who has a love for Him and a desire for the truth, so that we can learn about Him and His ways, not just His acts. It is like God does not want worship. Oh no, God wants worshipers. Let me say that again. God just doesn't want worship. God wants worshipers. So too, anyone that loves God and wants to know His ways are headed to only one place, and that place, my friend, is the wilderness. Now, when the children of Israel ended their 40 years, 40 in the Bible always means the time of testing, but they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, they were once again brought by God to the land that was promised to them by God. Just, just a little difference here, though. When we say the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, it was not an aimless wandering, but a controlled wandering from place to place, from one specific wilderness to the next wilderness, from Beersheba to Kidemoth, from Zin to Sinai, and so more. Each wilderness, like in our lives, has a specific work God desires to do in us. And after 40 years and after God's building faith and ability in them to handle the work needed to conquer the promised land, they found that they still found that the land was still filled with giants and other people. the first year of taking the land, the children of Israel had to defeat 14 people groups. As I said, the giants were still there. Things had not changed. But what had changed has been the faith in the people. The children of Israel now believe God rather than figure themselves into the equation of whether they could live in the land. They put themselves aside and put their faith in God. And now they were at rest, but not resting from their struggles. Oh no. As a matter of fact, their struggles for life and survival increased. But if we yield to God in the wilderness, He will make us able to defeat our enemies, and that will be either man or Satan, and enter into His rest. But my friend, He will do that by reducing us to nothing. Let me say that again. God will bring us into His rest by reducing us to nothing. Maybe that is why not too many Christians enter into God's rest. They do not want to be reduced to nothing. My friend, the way up is down. Down in God is where we find rest. Let me say that again. Down in God is where we find rest. Our flesh, our desires, our wants, our ambitions, our hopes, our dreams, our plans, all of that must be reduced down to what God wants for our life. Again, not too many Christians want to be reduced. They do not want to be consumed. Maybe that is why there's not much spiritual growth and development in most Christians today. In Hebrews 12:29, Paul writes, "For our God is a consuming fire." Wow, Hebrews 12:29, what a tremendous verse. But not too many Christians want to be consumed. I hear some Christians say that they are on fire for the Lord. Oh, really? Well, what does that mean, on fire from the Lord? I do not know, but I do know what it feels like to be consumed by God. There is only one basis to enter into God's rest, and that is the basis of being in Christ and Christ alone. Now listen closely here, my friend. Rather than think we must overcome our feelings before we enter into His rest, we need to see that we must enter His rest despite of our feelings to enter into that rest by faith in Christ and in Christ alone. Despite everything about ourselves is exactly the place that God wants to bring us to, and that is to His rest. If not, then everything else is unbelief. And to neglect to enter His rest for any reason is unbelief. There is no valid reason to neglect entering His rest, my friend. Oh no, He desires that. The victory of Christ is finished. It is in place. God says, enter into the fullness of Christ by faith. My friend, the fact is this is the only truth and the only bias that God will accept. We cannot enter into the fullness of God. No, we can't. The fullness that God has for us on any other basis other than in Christ. I do not care what your church says. I don't care what your denomination teaches. Oh, no. Now, listen. If Christ is not the basis for entering into God's fullness, then we have been deceived. We are moving in another spirit and not the spirit of the Bible, because this is the only teaching in the Bible to support entering into God's rest. Indeed, we are even warned against neglecting to do so and against trying to enter in on any other basis other than Christ alone. This is a statement of truth, my friend. Next week we will start looking at a new area, living by faith. Wow, living by faith. For the faith, for the godly shall live by faith. Remember, without faith we cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6. This has been David Saul from Beholding His Glory. Just hoping that you're getting this teaching and the Holy Spirit is able to enlighten you, and you come to the place that you can see that it is by faith alone that we come into Christ, and we must be in Christ. And if we're not in Christ, then we're in the world. Love not this world, nor the things in it, John tells us in 1 John 2:15. The more that we love this world, the less we will love Christ. It's Christ alone, my friend. In Christ. is hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God bless. Talk to you next week. Amen.